Music City.
We're AM 1300.
WNQM, Nashville.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Baruch Hashem Yeshua. That means praise the name of Jesus, Yeshua. We are One of Messiah congregation, and it's very nice to be here again on Yom Rishon, known as Sunday, or the first day of the week. And here we are. Praise the Lord. How are you, ladies, my wife and my sisters
this
here?
This is Carrie. I am doing fine. And I just was talking to someone today, and sometimes we don't realize that a lot of people do believe that the Sabbath is Sunday.
Yes.
It never occurs to them when we say Sabbath that it's not Sunday. It's actually Saturday, the seventh day of the week.
Praise the Lord. It's Ann. Nice to be here.
Hannah in Hebrew. You know, that is a strange thing that some people do misconstrue the Sabbath as Sunday. But Sunday is the first day of the week. Yom Rishon in the Bible. The word Sunday is not in the Bible. It comes from the pagan origin of when they worship the sun. But anyway, I mean, you know, it's still a day you could serve the Lord. We are One of Messiah congregation, and we are. You can always mail us anything you want at P.O. Box 254. That's Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. And if you'd like to get on the internet, we are oneinmessiah.net. That's .net. oneinmessiah.net. We have much audios and videos and teachings, and it's just a website full of information for you. Anyway, today is July 29th. There's only 2 days left of this month, fast month. But at the same time, we're in the fifth month of God, and it's the 14th day. So praise the Lord. God has his own calendar. And we're trying to make this audience familiar with God's calendar. The fifth month, for some reason, doesn't have a name to it in the Bible, Hebrew Bible. We don't name it like the name that Judaism picked, Av, because that comes from Babylonian origins, but we don't do that. But we're in the fifth month, 14th day of God, even though it's July 29, 2007. Let's see here. We have many things to talk about. We had a wonderful Sabbath yesterday, and we had some guests yesterday. It was very nice.
That's right. You said that it's the fifth month and the 15th day?
14th.
14th day, which means there's only 1 month and one half month away from the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets, which is a shadow of the second coming of Messiah. The fall feast days are coming the seventh month.
Yeah, that's the seventh month of
that's
God.
That's exciting.
Which corresponds to our September. So, you know, you figure it's called Zichron Yom Teruah, which is the memorial of blowing the trumpets, and the Feast of the Lord are coming. Like a lot of people, they still got that mixed up. They call it the Feast of the Jews or the Feast of Moses. It's the Feast of the Lord. What do you think about that?
It's kind of sad if they... I think it's very sad that no one knows about Yom blowing of trumpets and that it's coming up. And, you know, you can realize that there are holidays that people will take off from work, and you know you got it off from work, like Christmas or Easter, but no one knows about the blowing of trumpets. And it's a joyous occasion, and it's a wonderful thing that's so spiritual and so joyous. I mean, it breaks my heart in that respect.
Amen, and it has everything to do with your Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. So what we're going to do, probably in the next month and a half, is we're going to have some shows that tell you more about this in detail, so that maybe you can think about it, read about it in your Bible, and come to some meaning about what these feasts of the Lord mean to you as a believer in Jesus, Yeshua.
Amen. You know, it's a shame that we've been sort of hand fed, you know, since our birth, you know, the pagan holidays, Pope Gregory, you know, that type of nonsense. However, God has His own calendar, which we're trying to bring forth to people, and God has His own feasts. And, you know, we just thank God that He has His own laws, which we're going to be talking about. I just wanted to bring up a few couple of things. You know, in the news last week, they had the Condoleezza Rice. You know, she's trying to force Israel to give away they call it the West Bank. It's not the West Bank. It's Judea and Samaria, and it's part of Israel. And I pray that Condoleezza Rice will, I hope that she changes her attitude towards that, because God is going to be very displeased with America. We're not supposed to give away the land of God or side with people that want to give away the land of God. Hamas is making more ties with Britain, which is a nightmare. Also, 70% of the Palestinians, which are really just Arabs, they're not Palestinians, they're Arabs, and they 70% of them agree with suicide bombings. These are some of the things that were in the news last week, and that's why we need to pray for one another, pray for Israel, the peace of Jerusalem. We need to be mindful of each other, and there's people in other parts of the world that are, you know, they're in tribulations. You know, the people in America, their most tribulations they go through is, I don't know, they don't have cream for their coffee. I mean, but anyway, you know, we go through many topics in our congregation, and because we want people to know the Bible for what it says. We are Jews and Gentiles, but we're all one in Messiah. And once you become, you do tshuva, or tshuva, and you repent of your sins, and you join the body of Messiah, there's one body. You're no longer a stranger or a foreigner, but a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the sisters, Sister Anne here, was bringing up, who told thee that thou wast naked? You know, that's an interesting verse. You know, when the Lord said that to Chava, better known as Eve. You know, it's very sad that, you know, she recognized nakedness, of course, is a sin, and God kept it from them, and the knowledge of good and evil. But it's the lust for wanting more and more, and, you know, to do things where God says not to do. Just like, you know, we were watching last night on TV, on NSM, one of those TV shows, this How to Catch a Predator. And it's very sad, you know, they catch predator after predator. I mean, they were talking, they caught 53 people in one series. The guy, they almost exhausted the police station. And these are like, they caught a rabbi, and they caught a minister, and they caught a software engineer. And, I mean, these predators are going after 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds. This is an abomination to God. And like you said, you know, you had people in your neighborhood that were bestiality or something?
Yeah, I heard something about that. Or when I looked on the internet, I saw something like that. And it's mind-blowing. You can't even imagine that this is happening. You hear about it, you read about it, but to know or to really search and find that out, it's tragedy.
You know what it all boils down to is most people are never taught what is sin.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Or else they're taught that they can continue to sin and sin and sin, and they're still saved.
Right, and a lot of these churches they try to wrest or pervert the scriptures, where Apostle Paul was given this sort of testimony, saying he was a sinner, and the things that he would, he didn't, and all that kind of stuff. And he's saying that's what he used to do.
That's not what he.
Yes, and they twist that to the point where everyone just sins. Everybody sins. That's not true. You're not supposed to sin willingly.
The biggest problem in sticking with Romans chapter 7 is that you need to read the last line and go into 8 to see that if you're carnal, you're not of God, and you can't be, because the carnal mind is enmity with God.
You know, another problem is that most people don't realize there's two types of sin. There's one that is presumptuous, it talks about in the Word, and that is doing something on purpose, like you know that it's a sin, but yet you do it on purpose. And then you have the other type, which is an ignorant sin. You didn't know any better.
That's right. So, Anne, in the Tanakh, in what they call the Old Testament scriptures for atonement, was there ever sacrifice for willful sinning?
Absolutely not. For presumptuous sins, there was no sacrifice for that.
That's
only
right.
For the ignorant sins that you did.
Exactly. Now, in the new covenant with God, with His blood, is there sacrifice for sins willingly?
Absolutely not.
Of
and
course.
See, we don't understand that. And I think people of today, and even having the Word, they still don't understand there are two types of sin.
You know, that's because when you read Hebrews chapter 10, and it says, if you sin willfully after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. So most people go, wow, I've sinned willingly. Well, the trick of that is, did you ever come to the knowledge of the truth, really? Did you really realize what you were doing? Most people haven't, because they just go to some little version of the truth.
So if they never read the Torah, you know, I was kind of mentioning this earlier that, you know, many people that go into like the Protestant churches today or even the Catholic churches are told not to read their Bible. Or if you're going to read your Bible in the Protestant churches, start in Matthew. Don't go to Revelation. That might confuse you. I say start in Genesis.
Yes.
Really, start in the Torah. That is the foundation. That's the basis.
I know. They got everybody starting in like Matthew or something.
So you don't even know what sin is.
Of course
you know,
not.
That's, if you're not starting where it should start, You're not getting it.
That's why it's called Bereshit, in the beginning. Bereshit.
Read from the beginning.
Right. Well, amen.
You know, basically what we're talking about is, of course, it's amplified today because it's many years later, but way back in the book of Galatians, when Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians, you know, he was simply telling them, he said, who had bewitched you that, you know, who bewitched you? That's a strong wording right there, that you should not obey the truth for whom Christ died. He said, and he talks a lot about another gospel, even back then, another Yeshua, another Jesus. And he says it twice. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of the Messiah unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Messiah. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I again, he goes. This is like right after that. And he goes, if any man preach any other gospel, that was an angel, now any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that you have received, let him be accursed. Just think, from that point way back then, this is almost like, you know, probably almost going towards 2,000 years later, how many new Jesuses are in town and how many new gospels are, even in the Bible Belt. Just think, where we live, there's over 7,000 churches. That makes over 7,000 Jesuses and 7,000 different gospels.
That's right, because every church is different. But what they're all missing is that foundation. You can't have Jesus without understanding Torah. The reason you can't is because Jesus is in Torah. He is the Word of God. He explained to you what sin is very, very specifically and in very detail what sin is. Because you ask Christians today, I think you said it, what is sin? They really don't know. So they don't know what they repented from. They don't even know what they're supposed to do to be of God because they've never read it in the Torah, the Old Testament scriptures.
I don't even think they read the epistle of John.
Yeah.
Where John says it very clearly, what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. But then they say, well, the law is done away. That's because they misinterpret 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which we're going to do a little talking about today, this ministration of death. What is that? They actually think that, I looked it up in some concordances too, they got it so twisted, they actually think the ministration of death was replaced by the ministration of righteousness, meaning that the commandments was death and that the gospel now is the shining new example. That is so misinterpreted.
Now, very. I'm just shaking my head here as you're saying that.
Yeah.
I just got my head going back and forth. I can't believe it. Because the commandments are good. I mean, if you're not keeping the commandments of God, you are in sin. And we're going to go through, I think we need to read 2 Corinthians, where they talk about that in chapter 3.
Did you want to say something?
Well, I was going to say that along with not understanding what sin is, when it says the law in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, then there's a misunderstanding there too. What are they talking about when they say the law? If you never read the beginning, you're not going to understand what that means.
Right.
And so...
You'll never understand it.
Right.
Right.
A lot of misunderstanding and a lot of theology about those things. And it sticks with people. I see that definitely.
Well, you know, Angela and I were talking about this morning about how the world is. Like, the commandments of God are very definite, right? But if you don't believe in the commandments, then what you do is you make up your own rules in your own heart according to what you think is best. And that's kind of what they've done, you know.
And then what did God say? You can remember in Genesis where he says, what you just said, Angela, earlier, is, you know, who told you you were naked? I mean, who told you that that was okay?
And who bewitched you from the truth?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you can go to Galatians there. Who bewitched you, O foolish Galatians?
Well, you know, it's a sad thing. You know, it's amazing. The Bible is given to us for admonishment and for correction and examples of things to do and not to do. Most people, I don't know, they just don't read it correctly. I don't even know if they read it. They just go to church on Sunday for about an hour and a half, and then they forget about God for the rest of the week. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some other epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? It says, Paul's telling the Corinthians, your epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of the Messiah, ministered by us, written not with ink, of course not, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Amen. Praise
the
Lord.
So what does that mean there? It says you're an epistle of Christ.
That means they're supposed to be walking as a testimony, a shining light of the Messiah and of his commandments. You know, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, and then the love of his son is in you, the Bible says. But, of course, it says, and such trust have we through Messiah to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us able ministers of the new, it says testament, but it's the new covenant.
Yeah, it's not the books, everyone.
It's not, in other words, the gospels or the epistles. This, where it says able ministers of the new testament, of this new covenant. In other words, we have to rightly divide what the new covenant is. The new covenant was given to who?
The Israel.
Yes. Israel says that in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, which corresponds to Jeremiah 31:31. So we are able ministers of this new covenant. And
but
who's the
media? But what is the new covenant?
Well, the new covenant is very simple if you read the Bible, where it's written in our hearts. And it's the Word of God. And Messiah is the mediator of the new covenant, and his blood is the blood of the covenant.
Amen.
Because he said, even on the night,
well,
the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he took wine, and when he took the cup, he said, "This cup is the new testament in my blood." So that was the covenant, the new covenant, the new testament.
And part of it is his laws are supposed to be written on your heart. Those same laws that were on tables of stone, they're supposed to be written in your heart. Where are they?
Well, anyway, moving on here, this is the verse that really gets everybody, verse 7. Mm-hmm. It says, but if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious.
Well, you didn't finish 6.
Oh, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Who also made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen.
Let's talk about that.
Well, I just thank God that the letter, you know, the letter of the word, you know, if you go back to the letter of the word, there was much information about the Levitical priesthood. And if you read all that, you know, we already know that the animals, poor animals that you love, the ones with no spot or blemish, had to be offered to God. And this was a sacrifice, this ministration of death. It's very important that you understand what it's talking. It's not talking about the commandments with death. It's talking about the death of the blood and the animals.
And I noticed that when you're saying that, it's referring, again, not in the tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Just like in Jeremiah 31, the same covenant, this covenant that was to come, that the Lord would do that for us. And the blood.
That's
the
right.
The Levitical priesthood.
Amen. So when you're reading, you know, a lot of people, when they start reading, especially Leviticus and Numbers, where they're talking about sacrifice, and it goes into a lot of detail. And if you just read that in the letter, just read it, because most people will just go through the pages. They don't want to read it. It seems too boring. But you really do have to read it, because in them is the Spirit. Because behind all those words about atonement and all the sacrifice they did is the Spirit. Because all of those things led you to Messiah.
Amen, exactly.
And you have to see that.
Basically, you're saying it was a schoolmaster.
It was the schoolmaster that led us to a
What was the schoolmaster? Let's define that very clearly for everyone.
The Levitical priesthood and the sacrifices, of
course. Those were pointing to the coming of the Holy Lamb of God without spot and without wrinkle that would be offered to God. All these sacrifices was the schoolmaster. It's the end of the law. It doesn't mean the law is over. It means it's the goal of the law.
Amen.
It was the goal, everybody. Not the end, like it's over.
Like it's gone, no.
Right. It was the word there, you know, I think it's telos or something like that in Greek, and it means the goal.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean it's over.
And this makes sense, because otherwise you're going to see what? The commandments that God gave from the beginning is no more?
That doesn't make sense.
What are we to go by then?
There is no
law of bestiality and so on, everything else.
If there's no commandments, then there's no God.
This makes sense.
Again,
praise
I'm shaking my head.
This makes sense.
Yes. Simple sentence is, a gospel without judgment is a lie. I mean, if there's no judgment for sin, if there's no sin, then, I mean, what are we doing? What are we even doing here on the planet? Then who's to say what is right and wrong? I mean, if there's nothing, there's no standard. But God is the rule of thumb, the standard. God is the, this is the foundation, the commandments. This is what we're supposed to be looking on. And so this ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, which definitely was engraved. If you read Moses, Moses says numerous different times in Exodus 24, Exodus 34, Exodus 39, Exodus Numbers 33, he tells you that it was engraved in stone.
He really was
engraved in stone, right? So if that was glorious, I mean, how much more when the true essence of what was going on, in other words, the manifestation of the Messiah and him shedding his blood, of course it exceeds in glory. Of Amen. Course.
Amen. And you just said it, the ministration of death, all of those things about the sacrifices, it was death. Because every time you sinned ignorantly, you had to kill something.
Yeah.
Now,
that's right.
Behind those, you know, if you just read that in the letter and not in the spirit, knowing that that is the coming Messiah was going to be your sacrifice, according to Isaiah 53, according to Psalm 22, according to the Tanakh.
The whole Levitical, the whole book of Levites.
It is glorious, because through that was salvation. Salvation.
Amen.
You know, a lot of much people, more of the Messiah.
You know what a lot of people don't understand? When Moses said, there's a prophet, the Lord your God will raise up unto you like unto me, him shall you hear. Mm-hmm. Moses knew the Messiah was coming, because it was foretold in the book of Genesis, matter of fact. But these people just weren't killing animals, just like, I'll just kill an animal. Mm-mm. No, they had to do with the understanding that this is significant to the coming of the Messiah, and he would shed his blood. And it, of course, sacrifices when it hurts. That's why you have to get the purest one, the one without spot or blemish, the one that you cherish. And this is the one that you slaughter, and this is the one that God did. He sent his only begotten Son into the world. In other words, his word. He sent his word into the world, and his word got crucified, even as it's still getting crucified today.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
And as we read this chapter on, you'll see more and more what we're talking about, because the veil, remember when Moses' face shone? Because he did see the end of what was to come. The glory on his face.
Why don't you pick up on the next verse there?
Okay. Well, let's read 7 again, shall we? Because this, we didn't read the whole.
Okay.
It says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, and here we spoke that that was actually the animal sacrifice, because it was salvation.
And it was written in stone,
and
too.
And it was written in stone, too. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold, let's see, the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. See, it had to be something that was done away. I'm sorry, but the commandments aren't done away.
Of course
but
not.
What is done away in Messiah?
It says in Revelations.
Amen.
Well, I mean, how could it be done away when it says in Revelations 22, blessed are they that do his commandments.
It didn't say, oh, never mind, there are no commandments. No, of course there are. Right. So that's, it says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? See how the spirit, not the letter of the sacrifice, but what it was really pointing to.
You know, it's a shame that, you know, Amen. these people couldn't look at Moses' face, because it's shown, you know, the light of the glorious gospel would shine, it says, into your heart, but it couldn't shine to these people's hearts because their hearts were blinded. Even till today, we're going to read, when this testament is read, there's blindness on their hearts. They can't even see the Messiah. Same thing.
Amen.
Go right ahead.
You want to read 9, Anne? Go ahead.
Sure. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory.
Right. Paul just said the same thing two different ways. Go right ahead.
For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of glory that excelleth.
Of course.
Amen. The Messiah is much better.
Of all those animal sacrifices were, they fit the bill at that point, but they were talking about the true Messiah, the Lamb of God, which exceeds beyond imagination and glory.
Because one sacrifice forever.
Forever.
And because otherwise you would have to do them over and over and over again.
That's right. There's no more priests.
No more priests.
Praise the Lord for that. Amen.
And that's why, the reason why we're talking about this, this is very important. I hope everyone is listening. Because in Israel today, they're trying to let you, they're trying to make you think that they found the Levites' genetics, and they have the Levites being resurrected, and they're going to be doing blood sacrifices again, and they're going to have a temple again shortly. This is, we don't need any of these things. There's one sacrifice forever. Yeshua is the high priest. We are priests. We go right into the holies of holies through the blood of the Lamb. We have the blood of the covenant. Yes, it's been applied. The veil of the temple was rent. His flesh, yes, was crucified for us. And I just thank God that we are the temple of the living God right now. Mm-hmm. We show forth the praise of God.
Praise the
this
Lord.
Is a, this, see how easy it is to understand these things when you know the Tanakh, the Torah?
Exactly. Right.
I was just thinking when you were talking about, when you were saying the sacrifices and what they had to do, if you thinking about it, ignorant sins had to be atoned by sacrifices, blood, the most beautiful lamb without blemish. Lambs are so cute. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, this, you know, it's it that it was a terrible thing to have to see and deal with.
Sure,
but they had to all that time as a shadow of Jesus. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. I mean,
now, the
amazing.
Only I think the only thing that people can think about in this day and age, because they love their dogs and cats,
yeah,
although they're unclean, they love them. Think if you had to kill it,
exactly,
your dog,
forget about
every time
it.
You sinned ignorantly. And of course, they're unclean exactly. animals, but just think, that would might give well, them a thought of how bad it must be.
Let alone be scared of death because you sinned presumptuously.
We better
being
finish
stoned.
This chapter. Yeah.
That's right.
I can't believe how time is going
time
by.
Goes
it's
fast.
An exciting subject. Right?
Now, if some people get behind us with some finances, we'd have a longer show.
Yeah, right.
We are one of Messiah congregation. You can always get in touch with the radio station here, 1300. All right, go right ahead.
Okay. For if that which is done away was glorious, as we talked about, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech.
Praise the Lord.
And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished.
That means
they couldn't see the Messiah.
They couldn't see the goal of what they were doing. They were lost in their sins. That's what they wanted for 40 years. And all these sacrifices. What are we doing out
right,
here?
Right.
They didn't. They couldn't see the goal,
which was Messiah.
Go right ahead.
But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. And again, that's the reading of the covenant.
That means when the Jews read the Tanakh today in the synagogues and they don't have the Messiah, they still don't recognize him.
Because which veil is done away in Christ.
Amen. Praise
they
the Lord.
They see the end. Amen.
You know, we are one of Messiah congregation, and of course, there's lots. We have a lot more to be said about this chapter, and there's a lot more we'd like to clear up in your minds, and because we have spiritual Jewish eyeglasses, and we have some Hebrew eyeglasses for you to read the scriptures the correct way. Forget about. Come out of these Protestant churches. Come out of these Catholic churches. Get away from these religions. Get away from these other gospels that pervert the gospel of Messiah. You know, please, if you want to contact us anytime after the broadcast, we're at 615-591-9820. 615-591-9820. If you'd like to write us, where you can always send a letter to us, to One of Messiah Congregation, that's P.O. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. If you'd like to get behind us with some finances, we know we'd love to put it to work for God, and we'd love to have our own building one day. We are Jews that believe in the Messiah. We are the Israel of God. Any last words?
Well, remember that Jesus was not Catholic. He was not Protestant. He was not Seventh-day Adventist. He was not Church of Christ. He was a Jew. And unto them were given the oracles of God, and we're to join them, the Israel of God, who keep the commandments of God, have the feasts of the Lord, and found the Messiah. And that is the word of God.
You know, we pray that our Jewish brothers and sisters, that the Lord takes his veil. When it turns to the Lord will take the veil off their hearts, and a remnant will be saved. You know, I thank God for the blood of the Messiah. We are One of Messiah congregation. Come and meet us on Saturday at 12 o'clock at the New Hope Community Church. That's 605 Wilson Pike. That's Saturday at 12 o'clock on the Sabbath of the Lord, 605 Wilson Pike, Brentwood, Tennessee. And I just thank God we could be here. Please try to contact us by phone, by email, by website, or come in person on Saturday, 12 o'clock, at the New Hope Community Church. Thank God for the blood of the Messiah, the ministration of righteousness, and the glory of God.
And we also pray that the veil gets taken away from the Protestant point of view, that you don't need the commandments of God.
Amen.
Or the feast day of the Lord, because they're very important. And we'll talk about that again.
Amen. We just thank God for the blood of the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you.
You're listening to WNQM AM 1300, Nashville Quality Ministries, your 50,000-watt Christian station in Middle Tennessee.